Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute, and we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. Streaming Plus License, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless, from the Haven of Hope.
Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet sinners without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Back in 1985, I had been saved a total of 2 years. I'd already been involved in ministry, but I was watching a movie called Brainstorm. And I was so enticed because in that movie they had a device that you could wear it on your head and record what you thought, what you felt, what you saw. And it would record it, and somebody else could take it and put it on and to play it back, and they would see what you saw, felt what you felt, and experience what you experienced. And they were, you know, it was a big thing. Well, it got to the point that one of the scientists who were developing it, she put it on and was recording. And while she was recording, she had a heart attack and died. And it was recording the whole time. It kept recording for hours after she died. And it got to be a big conspiracy. The government and the military got involved that they were going to confiscate that piece of material because they didn't want people to understand or to know what really happened to you after you die. And I was watching the movie, and as I was watching the movie, Hollywood was doing the best it could in 1985 to bring about a glorious depiction of what it was like for when your soul left your body and went to heaven. This woman went to heaven in this vision, in this movie. And the government was trying to capture that device. Hallelujah. And I was so interested in it, but the Lord was dealing with my heart. He was trying to get me to do something that I wasn't doing yet. And I was sitting in my parents' house, and he gripped me by the heart and said, "I want you to come outside. I need to talk to you." And I said, "Lord, I want to talk to you too, but I'm watching this movie about this woman going to heaven. Lord, I want to see this. Can I see this?" And the Lord said, "No, I want you to come talk to me." And I began to beg, "Lord, let me please just watch this. It's so interesting. It's about going to heaven, God." And the Lord said, "No, come." And I argued with him again. And when I did, it was the strangest thing. I felt like my heart got gripped real tight. And I literally felt my heart get pulled up, and I stood up with it. And it got pulled out the front door. I said, "Okay, Lord, I guess I'm going outside." And I went outside, and as I went outside, the Lord says, "I want to talk to you." I said, "Okay." And he'd done all the talking, all of it. And he said, "I want you to walk." And this was an August night, the end of August, and it was real hot, and it was dark. And me, you know, y'all know where I live. My parents lived across the street, and at the end of my parents' driveway, right there in that dirt road, lived or existed what I like to call the swamp. It was a gigantic mud hole in the driveway that you had to get a running start to get through, or you could get stuck. But it was dry. It hadn't been raining in a while. Gigantic hole there at the end of the driveway. And I went walking, and the Lord pulled me towards the dirt road. And, you know, Mom and Dad's house was about, you know, 100 yards back away from the road in the woods. Had to pipe sunshine into that place. And I got to the end of that road, and when I got to the end of that road, I couldn't see it. But I know that mud hole was there, and I was standing right at it, and I could just feel it deep in my bones. There was a snake in that hole. Couldn't see it, but I said, I ain't going no further. The Lord said, "No, you keep going." I said, "Lord, I ain't taking nothing. There's a snake in that hole. I know there is. Because this is water moccasin central through here. We found them all the time. Still do." And the Lord said, "Have you not read in my word where I said you shall tread upon serpents and scorpions and every deadly thing, and I will not let it harm you?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Then trust me." And I was like, "Oh." And I took a step. And when I took a step, I stepped out onto the dirt road, the gravel road there in front. But when I put my foot on the ground, it was something different. It was like I stepped into... I left one reality and stepped into the Spirit of God. It was like crossing through the spiritual veil. And I stepped right into the middle of a vision that God had me in. I've never had one like it before and not since. But when I put my foot on that dirt gravel road, all of a sudden, I could feel myself begin to shrink and get tiny and smaller and smaller. I looked at the gravel on the road, and the gravel... little tiny beads of gravel started growing up and becoming boulders. And I looked and I began to sweat and I began to cry. And I couldn't catch my breath. And I was worshiping God because the very presence of God was where I was. And I began to cry and I said, "Lord, look, the world is so big." And God said, "Yes, it is very big. And you're one man. And you think that because the world is so big and you're just one man, you can't make a difference." And I began to cry. I knew what he was saying because he'd been pushing me to preach for 2 years. And I hadn't done it yet. And he started telling me, and he's pulled me towards 581. Another good 100 yards towards 581. And I was walking on that gravel road, and the Lord began to deal with me about preaching the gospel. And I started saying, "Lord, I can't do that. I ain't been saved long enough. I don't know the word enough. I don't know enough about the Bible. I can't do that. Besides that, my hands are full. I don't have enough time to do what is needed." And the more he pulled me towards Highway 581, the more I knew he was going to speak. And I got to the edge of 581. And I stopped with my toes at the edge of the road, and I could see the yellow line on the highway. And I stood there just listening to God, and he got quiet. I knew he wanted me to keep going, but I didn't. And he said to me, "Take a step, put your foot on that road." Do you know what that meant? That meant put your foot on the road to ministry like I have called you to. And I argued with the Lord. He said, "Come on, put your foot on that road. Take a step." I put my foot on Highway 581, and when I did, like when I put my foot on that gravel road, something changed. I was still in the Spirit of God. I was still sweating profusely and crying and worshiping because His presence was there. And as I put my foot on the road, 581 started stretching and running. And I saw houses and trees and lights beside the road just go longer and longer. And I turned both ways, and it was stretching, going longer both ways. And I looked at the Lord, and I said, "Lord, the road is so long." And He spoke to my heart, and again, and He said, "Yes, the road is going to be very long, and it's going to be difficult. It's going to be laborious. It's going to be hard. But you will not walk the road alone." He said, "That woman that you have met, that you have claimed for your wife, I had just met Renee that week." And I told y'all the story before. When I first laid eyes on her, I knew I was going to marry her. I didn't even know her name. And He said, "I'm going to give you that woman that you have claimed, and she's going to walk beside you. She's not going to walk behind you. She's not going to walk in front of you, but she's going to walk beside you. And whenever you get tired, she's going to hold you up. And whenever you get weary, and whenever you get weak, and whenever you get to the point you can't go on, she's going to carry you. You're going to put your arm on her shoulder, and she's going to walk carrying you, and you're going to keep going." Do you know how many times in the last 37 years Sister Renee has carried this ministry because I couldn't? Because I was so worn out, so weary, so weak, so burned out? You just don't know. And He kept calling me towards, He kept calling me towards the tabernacle right down there from the road from my house. And as I got down towards the tabernacle, I got on the edge of the road. And back on the tabernacle, back in those days, the front of the tabernacle, it was all brick, and it had a gigantic wooden white cross on the front of it. So you could tell it was a church when you passed by. And I got there, and I stood there on the highway, not standing on the property yet. And the Lord said, "Take a step now." I remembered the first two times that night the Lord told me to take a step. How wondrous and glorious it was. The whole time I was walking towards 581, God was dealing with me about ministry, about changing my path, about getting on the road He wanted me to get on. And when I put my foot on that grass, the road didn't stretch, it didn't grow, I didn't get small, and it wasn't anything like the first two times. The only thing that happened when I put my foot on the grass of that property, I heard steel hitting steel. And I heard a man scream in agony. And I looked up where I heard it from, and there hanging on that cross was Jesus. And I saw. And I watched Him hang there. I know there's some folks looking right now, "That guy's a fruitcake. That guy's an insane. He needs to be in a hospital somewhere." If you want to think that, more power to you. But that night changed my life. I couldn't see it all plainly in a steady scene. Every time I heard the hammer hit the nail, it flashed. And I'm thinking that the reason it did that is because I couldn't have stood it. I have a hard time talking about it. I couldn't have stood it sitting there watching it steady. But I heard Him when He said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is to say, "Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" I heard Him say, "It is finished." And He hung His head. And I watched Him die. I saw Him take Him down and put Him in that tomb. And I kept walking towards that cross, and I found myself on my knees on the ground in front of that cross crying. And then suddenly I looked up, and blinding light started coming from behind that stone, and the stone rolled away, and He walked out. And I had been telling the Lord the whole time He was talking to me, I've been telling the Lord, "Lord, I can't be a preacher. I can't go preach the gospel because I don't know enough about it. Go talk to this one. He and I talked about it. I go talk to him. He knows it. Everybody knows he's supposed to be a preacher. And he said, I done talked to him. He ain't having any. Now I'm talking to you. And I looked up and I saw all those things going on the cross. And the Lord said to me, preach that. Preach the cross of Christ and him crucified. And I'll do the rest. And from there, he moved me to get up and walk. Now, beside the tabernacle at that time wasn't the big old parking lot and wasn't a paved street. It was a gravel and tar road, a little like a dirt road, but it was still gravel and tar, all the way to the back of the tabernacle. And at the end where it stopped, it stopped straight there. And the Lord kept calling me, and I kept walking, and he kept telling me what ministry was going to be like. And I was walking with my eyes closed, worshiping, because there wasn't nothing for me to run into, nothing for me to step off of. And I got to a certain point, and I could just feel it. He stopped me. And when I stopped, he said, open your eyes. And I opened my eyes, and I looked down, and my toes were at the very edge of the end of that road. And then I looked up, and I was standing directly under the only street light on the property. And that street light represented the glory of God. And he spoke to my heart again, and he said to me, the road is going to be long and hard. You feel like you're only one man and you can't make a difference, but if you can just reach one soul and get that one soul to heaven, you'll have made the difference. He said, but when you get to the end of that road, stand there and wait for me. And I stood. Everything that God told me, and this was almost 40 years ago, this is 37 years ago, everything in that night that he spoke to me, in these last 37 years, every bit of it has come to pass exactly like he told me it would. Every bit of it. And where I am right now, right here at the Haven of Hope, I am standing at the end of the road. I'm not going anywhere else. I will be here when I die preaching behind this pulpit or the Lord raptures the church. Amen. Now, years ago, my mother always told me, she says, Mac, you can do anything. I was 5, she started telling me, you can do anything that you put your mind to. Nothing can stop you if you determine that you're going to do it. She told me that almost every day. I figured it was true. I've come to find out that there's nothing that I put my hand to that God didn't bless. And you know, that was one of the things he told me that night. He said, there's nothing you'll put your hand to that I won't bless and watch it flourish. Amen. There's a whole lot of things that God gifted me with in a lot of areas. And I chose, before I got into the ministry, I chose to be an artist. And I started out as a screen maker at a screen print company. And I moved into the art department of W Originals, a Fortune 500 company. And then I went from there to become the art director in another company in our plant. And then I moved there to becoming the Southern Regional Art Director for the entire Fortune 500 company called Dose Bun. And I was making good money. And I was a youth director. And I could have started taking a career in any field. I could have been a sound engineer. I could have been a radio, because I had already been a radio DJ. I could have been in the radio engineering, radio personality. I could have been in TV production, website design, music, all of those. Just about anything that I had put my hand to, God made me able to do it. This is not bragging on me. Don't say that. Don't think that. I'm not bragging on. I'm bragging on what God gave me. God did this. God gave me the ability to do anything. But you know what? When he gave me that ability, you know what he did? He anointed it such that I could use it all for the cause of Christ. All those things that God had gifted me to do, I'm doing now in the ministry. I was working my way up the corporate ladder when God opened the door to full-time ministry. And when he opened that door, it just consumed me. I took $1,000 a month cut and pay to go do it, and God blessed me the whole way. I worked like a dog for decades. I worked my way up the ladder of ministry towards a desired goal, and that desired goal was I wanted to become a state youth director by the time I was 30. And I worked my way up from a small church to the in the middle of nowhere now, working on boards and committees at general headquarters and international offices. Some of my youth and children's ministry's curriculum has been published by the denomination in the certification program for Christian education in the Church of God. And I helped develop the National Children's Leaders Association, which is an international club for youth and children's leaders in the Church of God. I served on the first ever children's state board in Ohio. And I have been offered that job of state youth director 3 times. And I turned them all down because that's not where the Lord wanted me. God had other plans. Let me tell you something, folks. You want to follow God's plans because God's retirement plan is better than anybody else's. I've always told the Lord that if he wanted me to leave youth ministry and to pastor a church, he was going to have to hit me in the head with a telephone pole. Pretty much. I was working at my last church as a youth pastor. And I'd already lost that job once and had to go somewhere else. And that somewhere else I went was pure agony for a year. And then when I was gone, that pastor left and they hired me back. I went back to work there and God blessed. And the youth ministry just grew and grew and grew. And the power of God moved in it. And all of a sudden, the floor dropped out from under me. And I couldn't get my paycheck anymore. Sister Renee and I worked at that church for 5 months without a paycheck. And people were coming against me. Leaders were coming against me. People were trying to get me to leave. All because they were jealous of what was going on with the youth program. The floor dropped out from under me and I thought, I'm going to hang on. People were coming against me and I thought, I'm going to hang on. And doors started closing and I thought and I hung on. Doors started opening and I thought and I hung on. But when the Lord moved on me and finally told me it was time to leave youth ministry and take a church, I did it. Now, the state youth director, the state overseer and all them, they had plans for me to go to another church. And that was the church I wanted. I've been wanting that church for years. And it finally came down to they offered it to me. But I was here. And I said, ain't no way I'm leaving the Haven of Hope. This is home. This is where God wants me. Instantly, I knew the will of God for my life. Today, right now, I am standing at the end of that road waiting for God right here at this church. I have never had more peace, more faith, more trust than I have right now because I have seen every single part of that vision come to pass exactly the way the Lord gave it to me. 1983, I saw a movie called Jesus of Nazareth. Y'all ever seen that movie? I watched the whole thing. It was kind of boring, you know, for the most part, but when it got to the part where they crucified him, I couldn't take my eyes off the screen. And I cried, and I praised God. And I was so ashamed because I knew that he was hanging on that cross who had never sinned, who had never done anything wrong. And he was there, and I've told y'all before about my wicked past. But I ain't told you nothing like what it was. And as I saw him hanging on that cross, knowing that he had never done a single thing wrong, and he was taking my punishment. You don't know the shame. You don't know the guilt. You don't know how horrible and how powerfully loved I felt at that time. I began to think about the King of Kings, the author of the universe, my Lord and Savior hanging on that tree, hanging on that cross, dying in my place, God in the flesh, the Word in the flesh, dying a death that was designed by the Greeks for killing rats. It was a humiliating death he took, paying the price for my sins because he hadn't done any. I was so humbled. I was so overwhelmed, realizing just how much I owed him. I want you to realize he died on the cross, having never done anything wrong, paying the price for my sin. But I want you to take that finger and point it at your heart. Because it wasn't just my sin he died for. It was yours. Think back. Think about all the evil. Think about all the wickedness. Think about how deep you were in sin. I got no choice but to say this. I wasn't planning on it. Think about the things you're still doing, how filthy and wicked they are. He paid that price too. I decided my life was his because he'd already paid for it. You are not your own. You're bought with a price, and that price was the blood of Jesus. I want you to think about the logic of this next thing I'm getting ready to say. I want you to think it and apply it to yourself. Because this is what his whole message has been trying to get to. This is one point that the entire message, I know the whole thing y'all was thinking about, I was up here bragging on myself. That's not what I was doing. But it was leading to this one point. He died for me so that I would miss hell and spend eternity in heaven with him. He died for me. I'm going to live for him. How about you, friend? Are you going to live for the one that died for you? Lord, that's hard. I ain't got no choice. Are you going to live for the one that died for you? Or are you going to treat him like he's nothing? I don't want to say that. And you can't even roll out of bed on Sunday to come see him. Or you're too busy. You're too busy because you got to go to Walmart instead of coming to church. I had to go to Walmart, Pastor. Walmart's open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And you had to go on Sunday morning? Well, I just didn't feel up to getting up. You get up 6 days a week to go work. You couldn't get up to come and have the Lord bless you, pour out into you. Well, Pastor, I can't come to church because I got to spend family time with my family. You only got Sunday morning at 11 o'clock to spend time with your family. You can fool me or you can think you're fooling me. It don't matter what I think. It don't matter what I know. It don't matter the excuse you tell me because I ain't the one that you need to be talking to. God knows not just the intents of your heart, but he knows the lies you're trying to tell yourself. He died for you. You need to live for him. Everyone in here, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? There's already some in this altar today. God's moved upon their hearts to lead them here. Today, he's saying to you, I know this is what he gave me this message for. He's saying to you, I died for you. Will you live for me? If you will, I will give you life everlasting. I will give you life eternal. I will write your name in the Lamb's book of life. And instead of taking eternal punishment in a devil's hell, you will spend eternity in my presence, in glory. Is God speaking to your heart?
Friends, we always like to end our service, each service, with this sinner's prayer. And if you would repeat after me, we use the right hand and use each finger on the right hand to signify and to pray with each of these parts of this prayer. If you'll repeat after me, Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know you're the Son of God. I know you died on the cross for my sin, and you were raised again on the third day. Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for making me a Christian. In Jesus' name.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road, just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night. Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m. and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m. or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, hope for the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.